to share. But, you know, I shared a few of these things several years ago, and I'm going to share them again. Because, first of all, there's some new people here. But as I was just reading, you know, reading all kinds of various things about moms and on this special day, I came across this story. It was told by James Dobson, actually. It talks about a mother who was sick in bed. She had the flu. This was before COVID. I mean, it was sort of strange when COVID hit. Nobody got the flu anymore. What happened to the flu? Everything was COVID. COVID cured the flu. I had a nurse actually say that to me one time. I was in the doctor's office. She says, all of a sudden, COVID is disappearing. All of a sudden, we got people getting the flu again. I don't understand. But anyway, here was this mom sick in bed. She had the flu. And her little daughter wanted so much to be a good nurse. So she brought mom an extra pillow. She brought her a magazine to read. Then she even showed up with a surprise cup of tea. And her mother took a sip of the tea. And she said, wow, I didn't even know you knew how to make tea. And the little girl said, oh, yes. Yes, mom, I learned by watching you. I put some water in the pot. And then I put the tea leaves in. And I boiled the water. And then I strained it into a cup. But you know what, mom? I couldn't find the strainer. So I used a fly swatter instead. And her mother said, you did what? And the girl said, no, mom, don't worry, don't worry. I didn't use the new fly swatter, I used the old one. Hallelujah. If any of you have raised kids, I'm sure you can relate to stories like that. Amen? Come on, amen. You know, maybe at the time you didn't get a kick out of it, but when you look back, we look back at some of the things our kids did, or we could tell you stories, forget about it. But you know what? It's really not so easy today, being a mom. You know, there was this one woman who said, you know, before I got married, I had three theories about raising children. Now I have three children and no theories. You know, motherhood can be messy, frustrating, exhausting. There's no foolproof formulas. There really aren't. All kids are different. You can raise two kids exactly the same. They turn out very... We have four boys. They are all completely different. I can tell you, there's not even two of them that are alike. They're not even similar. They're absolutely different. And I can remember like it was yesterday, you know, I mentioned James Dobson. He was the authority on children, right? And I remember, like it was yesterday when we lived in North Babylon, and I'm driving in to work here to school this one morning, and I hear him on the radio, and he's saying, you know, we had our first child, little girl, and he put all his theories and his teachings and his writings, he had books, into practice, and they raised her, and she just grew up, she grew and was perfect and polite and this and that. And then they had their second child, a little boy, and nothing worked. Absolutely nothing. All his theories, all his teachings, all his preachings, all his writings, none of them were applicable to him. And that's the way it goes. Come on, those of you who have kids, I'm sure you can testify to that. There's no proven methods, no formula. You know, you try, you do your best. But, you know, like I said earlier, the Bible says honor your father and your mother. And even your as a husband, you know, in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife. Giving honor. You know, I was just telling my wife this morning, I says, our children couldn't have had a better mother than you. You know, it's the truth. And probably each of our husbands here could probably say the same thing about our wives. You know, there's nothing wrong with bragging on your wife. In fact, it's a pretty darn good thing to do once in a while. Maybe not just once in a while. You know, do it as often as you can. Because she's worth it. She really is. Man, I remember raising our kids, and I couldn't do the things my wife did. In fact, I got to confess to something. There were many a night I heard that baby crying, and I kept snoring. In fact, I think I snored a little louder. So she'd know for sure I was sleeping. Come on. Come on. You know, there was just something about sitting there at 2:30 in the morning trying to keep a bottle in a baby's mouth that was, come on. The Bible even says in Ephesians 5, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. You know what that means. Prefer her. Prefer her over yourself. You know, when and if you can, prefer her. Do what you can to make her life, her job, so to speak, a little bit easier. One of the best things that a father, a husband, can do for his children is to love their mother. It's really true. There's no better example you can set for them growing up. You know, and I laugh sometimes because sometimes you can get you in trouble. But I've heard one of my sons say to his wife, that's not the way my mother made it. That could get you in big trouble real quick. But, you know, it came from his heart, you know, and because he just, you know, that's the way it was, you know, and he didn't really mean anything bad by it. But I'm sure it didn't get him points. You know, there's an old Jewish proverb. It's a proverb. I don't believe it's anywhere in Scripture. But it's an old Jewish proverb, an old Jewish saying, so to speak, that says, God couldn't be everywhere. That's why he made mothers. Amen. You know, and I heard the story about this fragile mother who sent her little boy to bed. And she heard him grumbling to himself. He said, every time she gets tired, I'm the one who ends up having to take a nap. Come on. How many times? You know, you've had it, you're wiped out. You're tired, aren't you? I think you need a nap. It's really you the one that needs a nap. But, you know, mothers teach us a lot. I want to run down a list of things that I know. And I can relate to every single one. I mean it. I think my mother at one point or another said every one of these things to me. Let me just say my mother was a character. My wife can testify to that. My mother was a cat. She grew up with a lot of brothers who were really, one was a bookie, one was this one. She grew up with a lot of guys. I'm telling you, she was a character, especially before she knew the Lord. Before she knew, well, anyway. I want to run down these things that my mother taught me. My mother taught me logic. She used to yell at me. She said, if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. Or she'd say, if everyone else jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? Come on, you've heard these things? Come on, your mom hasn't said that to you? My mother taught me humor. She says, when that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. She taught me genetics. Genetics. My mother never went beyond eighth grade. But she taught me genetics. She told me, she said, you're just like your father. She taught me anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. She taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when I get you home. My mother even taught me religion. She said, you better pray, that'll come out of the carpet. She taught me stamina. She says, you'll sit there until all that spinach is finished. I remember. I still can't eat string beans today. I can't eat string beans. Am I lying? I can eat them raw, growing in a garden. But you cook them, I can't eat them. My mother even taught me the circle of life. Tell me if you haven't heard this one. She says, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Come on. But here's my all-time favorite. My mother, when I didn't go past eighth grade, she wasn't a lawyer. She taught me justice. Justice. She says, one day, you will have kids. And I hope they turn out to be just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. I can't wait. Amen. How many can relate to that? Come on. You know, there's many things our moms have taught us. You know, they go through a lot. Moms go through a lot raising kids. But, you know, as a mom, I think the most important thing you could learn is to bring your burdens to the Lord. We still have burdens for our kids. We still have, I mean, I don't care how old they are. Our youngest is going to be 40 soon. Our oldest is 53. You know, but they're still your kids. And they're going through a difficult time. No matter what it is, it still burdens you. And especially once they're grown and out of the house and now they're no longer under your roof and really under your control, you really need to bring those burdens to the Lord. You know, we find a story in 1 Samuel chapter 1 of a woman named Hannah. An ordinary woman, but she's an example of a great woman and a godly mother from the Old Testament. Hannah teaches us to bring your burdens to the Lord. You know, Hannah was a woman who had a burden because Hannah was one of two wives of a man named Elkanah. Elkanah's other wife had children, but Hannah had no children. And she was, as the Bible says, in bitterness of soul. I mean, especially in those days. Today's, we counsel people, young kids getting married. You want to have kids? No, we're not going to have any kids. Or maybe we'll have one. But in these days, having a child, especially having a man child, was so important to women back then. So she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Hannah was a brokenhearted and disappointed woman, but she brought her brokenness and her disappointments to the Lord. And the Lord heard her. She went into the temple one day, and there was a priest there, I think his name was Eli, and he thought she was drunk because she's praying and her lips are moving, but nothing's coming out of her mouth. And he says, you shouldn't be drinking this early in the day. And she says, I haven't had anything to drink. I've had no wine and no strong drink. But she shared her burden, and Eli prophesied over her, you will have a child. And sure enough, Hannah became pregnant, and she had a child. And she prayed, went to the Lord, and she said, if you were to give me a man child, I will bring him back to you and offer him to you for him to be in your service for the rest of his life. And that's exactly what she did. She gave birth. She had a boy. And when he was old enough, she brought him into the temple. She said, here he is, Lord. He's yours. And he served God all the days of his life. She brought her burden to the Lord, and the Lord heard her prayer and answered her. Amen. We want to pray for all you moms today. I'm going to ask Pastor Diane if she would come up. I know she has something to share. Yes. Amen. God is so good. I tell you, I love those stories about moms and the things they've said. You know, when I happened to come across them as I was just preparing for this morning, I got such a kick because I could hear it like it was yesterday. Well, your father gets home. And I tell you, when he got home, it wasn't pretty. So when you heard those words from mom, you knew what was coming. Is that working?
Not yet.
Not yet? No. Yes. Yeah, it's working. Hallelujah.
He had me laughing and crying. My mother-in-law's name was Rose. And oh boy, I learned a lot from my mother-in-law. She was rough and she was tough. She had 8 children. She had 6 boys, 3 miscarriages, and she kept saying, I could have more. I could have more. She was so proud that she was a mother of so many. But she was rough and tough, and as rough and tough as she was also very tender and sweet. And I learned so much from my mother-in-law. Very, very, very much. She could put a dinner together 20 minutes.
Yeah, from scratch.
And she would go in the kitchen, bang, boom. You would think there was somebody was, 2 people were fighting in the kitchen. And she'd put the food on the table, and it was always so delicious, so delicious. And she used to tell me, you're not feeding him enough. Give him more food. The baby's crying. Give him more. Feed him. My baby was overweight.
I'm a byproduct of that. They have pictures of me in a high chair going like this. Like, come on.
Yes.
Come
eat,
on.
Eat. Really, I saw it. But like I said, she was very, very precious, very precious, and I learned a lot. My mother was quiet and, I don't know, kind of like not outgoing, or my house was very quiet. And when I would go and visit my mother-in-law's house, I mean, there would be like 18 grandchildren, most of them are running around, my mother-in-law's yelling. But it was, you know, at first I used to go there and just cringe. And where do I fit into this? But then I just fell in love with everyone, and I fell in love with my mother-in-law. We cried together, and it was good times, mm-hmm. Very, very good times. So I thank the Lord for her. Do you want to go sit down, or you want to stay up here?
No, I'll go sit down.
Okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it. We have some roses up here, and... just want to speak a little bit. Sometimes in the Word of God, roses are mentioned, and it's, I think that they are, how can I say, they're, when I think about a rose, I think about a woman. Not just because my mother-in-law's name was Rose, but because it seems so female, you know what I mean? It's so soft and fragrant and, you know, and God created roses. Excuse me? Yes, that's, roses have thorns, and I was going to mention that. Thank you about that. Yes, in Isaiah 31... 35, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. So the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the rose? Think about that. A desert is a dry place, right? And yet it says it shall blossom like the rose. And I think that all of us... are blossoming, and I'm not just talking about moms, because I think that I really believe that every woman has a mother's heart. I really do. I mean, my sister Annette, she loves children, and she loves children's ministries, and she'll cry over child. We had somebody come and visit us recently that was here when he was a little boy, and Annette just broke down and cried and cried, and they hugged each other. So I think that every woman, even maybe you have not had the privilege of delivering a baby or being a mom, you still have a mother's heart. I truly, truly believe that. The rose is born of the tiniest of seeds, and is a symbol of the potential and beauty contained on love's promises. It really is. If you see the seed of a rose, it's very tiny. And although roses are very delicate, they'll come through snow, they'll come through storms, they'll come through deserts. And I really think that a rose resembles us in our nature as women, as wives, as moms, as friends, as girlfriends. A rose is fragile and easily crushed. Does that sound like you? It is soft, fragrant, and faithful. Beautiful indeed, but be careful, it has thorns. Be careful how you handle her. You might get pain, you might hurt. Hey, what about if a mom has to stand up for one of her kids? Maybe someone's hurting that child or whatever. A mom becomes almost like a dad in those times. Amen? You know, I'm sorry for being too fragile at times. As I look back over my life, maybe I made some things that were so important to me weren't really so important. After all, I'm still growing, and I'm hoping that my fragrance is increasing. A rose grows on a vine and can start off in one direction and end up in another. I know I am growing, and sometimes God has to prune me, as roses need to be pruned. And I think that we all know what the pruning process is or feels like. Amen? I think having children is a pruning process for a mother and a father. And, you know, that little boy that was crying all the time, he never stopped crying. I mean, he would sleep for maybe 10 minutes. If 20 minutes, that was great. But I remember shaking because he would have me up all night crying. And that little boy, when he was born, the night before I went home from the hospital, the head nurse came to visit me. And she came by the side of my bed and she said, "Do you have a lot of patients?" And I said, "I think so." She says, "Does your husband help?" "Yes." "Do you have other children?" I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "We know when a baby is born with a temper. And your baby has the worst temper we have ever seen in an infant." And what a temper. What a temper. Up all night screaming, screaming, screaming. If I was feeding him with the spoon, little cereal, and I didn't put it in fast enough, he'd spit it out and just start screaming. He is the most tender, lovable child. I mean, he is so tender, so loving. Amen. He can't do enough for us. But boy, were those days rough and tough. I was so tired. I did everything like dragging. Did I complain? No. Oh, yes. Yes, I complained. I probably took it out on you. I don't know. I don't remember. You did? You remember. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, was it worth it. But sometimes we have to be pruned, and God will do that just to make us more fragrant, just to sweeten us up more. Amen? And you know, Eugene, I thank you for your patience, your love, and your forgiveness, and I thank God for his grace. So, ladies, would you come up, every single lady, I'm not just talking to moms, every single woman, would you come up here? Would you take a rose or two roses or three roses? We have enough roses, I think, up here. Take a rose and just come up here and stand with it. Come help yourself to a rose. So lovely. prune that thing, honey. You know, a man can build a house, but a woman can make a home. Amen? A man can build a house. Come over here in the front, maybe. Watch the thorns, ladies. I was going to give this to her. Okay. I'm going to give you a few more. All of them. You're welcome. So I said, a man can build a house, but a woman can make a home. Amen? And it's so beautiful. You know, I remember one of our sons left the house. I had to call the police, actually, when he left the house. I was afraid. And anyway, he went out into the world, and today, it's like that, even with men, those rose bushes, you know, how they have to be cut down and pruned, and they're going in one direction, and you see God's hand on our children to stir them in another direction and bless them and mellow their hearts, you know? And that boy is another one, not the one with the temper, but he is so loving and so respectful and doing so well. But our heart breaks over our children. They, you know, the word of God, we're not supposed to worry, but we do. And we say, Lord, forgive us, you know? And I have found when I do worry about something, I kind of try to look through it and kind of try to see what God is doing. I don't see all that he's doing. And then I kind of grasp hold of something he's going to do. That is something God showed me recently. And boy, it has kept me above the matters. The rose represents love, beauty, and hope. You represent love, beauty, and hope. Jesus said, I am the lily of the valley. Wow. In a valley. And so those are tough times. Those are sad times. That's when we go deeper into things, into valleys. And yet, he calls himself the lily of the valley. That through all of that, that lily comes up and shines so beautiful. How about the rose of Sharon? And I looked that up. And it said her maturity, the rose of Sharon, represents a woman's maturity and saintly nature. And so as the rain falls on us and we get wet and maybe sag or whatever from that heaviness, the sun comes out and we can burn under that sun. God has it all under control. And he's raising up women today that are strong. Their faith is so strong. Their prayers run so deep and yet go so high and reaches the Father's altars. You know, I know years ago there was a man that had a vision. And this man used to have a lot of visions, and he used to have the reasoning and the word that would be presented in these visions. And one of the visions that he saw, he said, he saw the throne room. Of course, he didn't see God, but where God was seated was so bright, so bright. And then he saw, like, around the throne room, it was just, like, not as bright as God. But then he saw mother's prayers piercing through, and he saw them as lights. As the Father was sitting there on his throne, he said, I saw these bolts like lightning coming into the throne room, coming into the throne room, coming into the throne room. And in that vision that he had, he heard, these are the prayers of the mothers. And like I said, even in those that we don't have a child, you still have a mother's heart. And you want to nourish. You want to go somewhere, you want to help someone, right? And your prayers sometimes take over just like that mother's heart. It's so, so beautiful. Oh, the power of a mother, the power of a woman. Glory, glory, hallelujah. We are powerful. The red rose also symbolizes martyrs. Now, don't we sometimes in our prayers for people that we love, we're kind of like on our faces, we're kind of like going into the trenches, we're kind of like something is dying inside because we hurt so bad for that one? Continue with all the wonderful power God has given you. And if just close your eyes for a minute. Father, I just want to pray a blessing over each lady here, Lord God, each one. Father, it doesn't matter our age. It's not over. It's not over. In fact, every new year is a new beginning. Thank you, Father, for these lovely roses, these lovely women. Thank you, Father, how you are increasing our fragrance and increasing our power in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we all ask for more wisdom, Lord, and we all ask to be drawn closer to you, God, to be drawn closer to you, that others will see that tenderness, that velvety touch, Lord God, that we can have, but they also will see us as one shining in a valley or through a desert, that shining forth, oh God, will touch lives, will touch the very nature of others. Father, let us be beautiful examples to the younger generation. Father, as we pray, Father, even for those that have not been birthed from our wounds, but can be birthed from our spiritual wombs, God, teach us and lead us daily, Lord God, how to pray. Increase our faith, Lord. Give us such a deep, earnest desire and thirst and hunger for more of your word. And Lord God, may we hold on to your promises. May we awaken to your promises. They are yea and amen. Your promises, Lord God. Let us stand, Lord God, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of pain. Let us stand on your promises that you will call us faithful ones. Stand, believe, pray with faith, Lord God. And always know that your eyes are upon us. Thank you for directing our lives, Lord. Thank you for making yourself known to us, making your love known to us, oh God, and expanding our hearts with love for others. Thank you for what you're doing, the things that we can feel, the things that we cannot feel, the things that we can see, the things that we cannot see. Thank you, God, for keeping even a veil over our eyes, Lord God, like a bride, to maybe keep us safe, that we won't be able to see things we couldn't handle. But thank you also for lifting that veil, oh God, as the bride's veil is lifted, Lord, and we can see things when we are strong enough to really see the truth and allow that truth to set us free, and allow us in our prayers to be able to break forth and set others free. We love you, Lord. We thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. So, Father, bless, 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 bless. Let them know who they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Jesus.